Blog Talk Radio.
Out in the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Nighttime would find me in Rose's Cantina. Music would play and Felina would whirl.
Good afternoon, folks. It's a Saturday afternoon, and it's warm down here in North Florida. It's in the 90s, so summer is definitely here full swing. I open with that little snippet from Marty Robbins' El Paso because we're going to talk about one of the big issues for election 2016. I actually have the title of the program, Immigration and Jobs, Advantage Trump, the issues for election 2016. But we're going to talk about immigration. We're going to do part one today, and we'll probably continue on Monday. And I think immigration is the issue of the generation, folks. We've been dealing with this problem for a long time. Congress and the president have done nothing positive about it. They've lied. They've defied. They've done whatever they want to do. And the problem now is it's gotten so out of hand that I don't know that there's a solution. But we've got to do something. And Donald Trump has come along, and he just basically said it's time to change things. So back in those early days of America, back in the Wild West days, El Paso was, you know, just a small border town on the Rio Grande right across from Mexico. Well, today, it's a big city, and right on the other side is another big city, Juarez, which is also a hotbed for the cartels. Matter of fact, there's a lot of talk, and I've seen some evidence, that there is actually an ISIS training camp only 8 miles from the American border over there outside of Juarez. There's a lot of give and take going between ISIS and the cartels in terms of money and movement of stuff. But so what do you have right across the river from the old Texas town of El Paso today? Here's what you have, folks. Chaos and gunfire in the streets, folks. They are finding people with their heads severed and put on posts along the roadways. Bodies strung everywhere. Hundreds of people have been killed. And some of the weapons that have been used to do so much of the killing with the cartels came from Fast and Furious. Remember that? Fast and Furious, Eric Holder, when the United States government was actually selling our weapons to Mexico because they wanted it to make look like we had to do something about the weapons in terms of gun control. That was the first big push for it. We've still never gotten all the answers, but of course one of our agents, our Border Patrol agents, Brian Terry, was murdered because of it, and we've never gotten the answers. We still need the answers for that. But what we're going to do today, folks, and my friend Mark Collier is going to be with us in just a few minutes, but before I bring him on, I want to talk about something that really relates. I've got just a little bit of a narrative that I want to read because I think it's so, so important to this issue. And I think, in my opinion, it's spot on with what's going on. And I'm going to use my own family history as a background for it. We're going to also run our show today according to the pictures. And the first picture is the Statue of Liberty. And it relates to this little story from my personal family that I'm going to tell you right now. When my forebears came to America from Scotland in the early 1900s, they saw the Statue of Liberty from the ship, and they cried with joy because they knew what it meant. Life had been tough in the old country because the shipyards had closed. They'd gone bankrupt. But Granddad was recruited by another Scotsman who had started what came to be known as the world's largest private shipyard, Newport News Shipbuilding and Dry Dock Company. My granddad was a ship's carpenter and an artisan. And the president of the shipyard, the Scotsman, knew where to find quality and hardworking artisans. He didn't want people that expected a handout. Granddad and his family spent 3 days at Ellis Island being checked, prodded, physically and mentally, and he had to have evidence of either an American citizen sponsor or a job awaiting him. And then finally, after everything checked out positively, they were allowed to process and were taken to the train in New York City for what was then the long train ride down to Newport News. And the shipyard had sent the money, they wired the money, to Ellis Island to pay for the tickets. Granddad was overwhelmed with joy and spent the entire rest of his life teaching his three boys to love America and be good citizens as he truly was. He loved this country and had no regrets for making the long and arduous journey with a family in tow. It's amazing that today we have no checks, we have no examinations, including health examinations, and we provide everything that people need with no obligation on their part when they show up across the border illegally. Sadly, we even treat them better than we do our own military veterans who have given up so much for this country, and they have to fight for everything and then some to get it. And then our newcomers demand special privileges and riot in the streets and burn our flag and wave theirs in gratitude. And you wonder why so many Americans are fed up. And you wonder why so many Americans are pulling for Trump today. I include myself in that number. President Teddy Roosevelt was right when he said that we should welcome people if they want to assimilate and become good American citizens, living by our rules, working hard to pay their own way, and also learning our language, English. So if agreeing with the Rough Rider makes me cold or not welcoming, so be it. Living in America is a privilege for those who want to be Americans. It is and never will be a right for those who come here merely to take and never to give anything in return. So that's my little opening statement, and let me get back here and bring Mark on board. Just a second for him to come through. Good afternoon, Mark. How are you on a Saturday?
Well, good afternoon to you. Sometimes Heimer's made it to the show on time. It's a little warm here, too, a little sticky. You were talking about what's conservative, who's a conservative, that kind of thing. And I just had a few little notes here I had wanted to go through. I went back and reread Barry Goldwater's convention speech given some 52 years ago, just around the corner. And I thought that some of these issues we're looking at today, and I'm going to just go over them very briefly. This won't take but a moment. He starts out by saying, "The good Lord raised this mighty republic to be a home for the brave and to flourish as the land of the free, not to stagnate in the swampland of collectivism." Did that ring today? His party, as he was defining it, freedom made orderly for this nation by our constitutional government, freedom under a government limited by laws of nature and of nature's God, freedom balanced so that liberty lacking order will not become the slavery of a prison cell, balanced so that liberty lacking order will not become the license of the mob, which I think we have seen in San Diego just recently. He's talking about a renewal of it here, and then he goes right to the heart of it. Because of this administration, we are tonight a world divided. We are a nation becalmed. We have lost the brisk pace of diversity and the genius of individual creativity. We are plodding at a pace set by centralized planning, red tape, rules without responsibility, and regimentation without recourse. He goes on and then starts to point some real fingers. Tonight, there's violence in our streets, corruption in our highest offices, aimlessness among our youth, anxiety among our elders, and there is a virtual despair among the many who look beyond material success for their inner meaning and their lives. Where examples of morality should be set, the opposite is seen. Small men seeking great wealth or power have too often and too long turned even the highest levels of public service into mere personal opportunity. Now, I think that kind of says what we needed to say here, you know, with regard to the last show and where we're going with this. His, you know, his ultimate quote is, you know, of course, the second part is actually the part that it really we have to deal with today. Moderation in pursuit of justice is no virtue. I think what we have here is a situation where we are looking at specialized treatments, you know, for certain groups just because they've been dedicated that. I think that when you were talking about your forefathers, you know, your granddad, my grandfather came over in 1921 to go to school, right, from England, because it was a horrible disaster over there. This is after World War One. Place was a complete mess, and he came over here for religious freedom, opportunity to practice as a Methodist minister, and to enjoy the bounty of this country. I honestly believe that that's all been very perverted lately, and this whole thing with the immigration sort of gets to we're a lawless country here. We have given up all semblance of order, and it's a real mess. I don't know what we're going to do about it.
Yes.
I know that we have to start with something, and you're absolutely right. This is what got Trump going, was look at this mess down here. This cannot be right. And so I just wanted to take that moment to sort of tie together your last show and where we're going here, simply because people need to understand our Republican cause is not to level out the world or make it people conform in computer regimented sameness. Now, this is 1964. Our Republican cause is to free our people and light the way for liberty throughout the world. Oh,
well,
man,
and you know, the whole,
I mean, so
the whole thing boils.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, no, go ahead, because I was all I was going
to
say.
Well,
I just
wanted to say
that really what
I just
this
wanted
is all
to say
about.
I just wanted to say that freedom of individuals is the key to everything. Individualism. We try to make everything collective. You know, that's what the Marxists want. That's what the Democrats want. They want it all a collective. You know, it takes a village. Well, you see what happens when you give it to the village. What happens? Look what it's done to our children. Their children are basically dysfunctional today. If you look at the most recent generation, and of course there are exceptions because there are always some good parents out there, but they can't think for themselves. You know, they have safe rooms in colleges, and I don't want to get off into this stuff, safe rooms because they can't discuss anything. I mean, come on, you know, good discourse, you know, just like it used to be in the Senate. It was a chamber where they had great discussions about things, and, you know, they disagreed and they discussed the issues to try to find places where they could work together. Today, it's all this or all that. There's nothing in between. And, you know, a society is being ripped apart, and I think a lot of it's by design. But nothing makes it more possible to do that is when you break the culture down to nothing. And that's a lot of what this overrunning of the southern border is all about. We have opened up that southern border. That's our next picture. You know, our next picture shows them coming across the fence and a Border Patrol guy is standing there doing nothing because he's ordered not to do anything. They're coming across the border into this country. We don't know a thing about them. We don't know anything about their health. We don't know how many they're bringing. We don't know anything about them. And they're coming across here from everywhere. They're finding people from the Far East. They're finding them from the Middle East. They're finding them from everywhere coming in here. Even the thugs from Russia are coming in Poland. The mafiosa types in their countries. They're all coming to America, and they're walking in the door, and we're giving them cash. We're giving them a place to live. We're doing all this stuff for them, and they frankly don't give a damn about America. And that's the problem. Back in the old days when people came to America, they were yearning for freedom. These people aren't yearning for freedom. They're looking to take advantage of somebody else. And you've got the UN and the EU and God knows what else, all these organizations, you know, demanding that America take so many people of this or that or the other, you know, demanding. The UN has no right to demand anything of the United States. But yet we allow that to happen. This current president, that's the next picture, that's obviously not a very good caricature, and I put it up there on purpose because the guy just said this week that he's had less illegal immigrants entering the United States under his watch than's happened before. That's a bold-faced lie. In 2013, and why it is we don't have a very good record since 2013, I don't understand. I guess they're so bad they don't want to tell you what they are. But in 2013, we had 1.57 million immigrants came into the United States, of which nearly 600,000 were illegal, and none of them were sent back. As a matter of fact, there are 86,000 convicted felons who are on the street that they've let out of jail, and nobody knows where they went, and no one is tracking them. And you wonder why somebody, some poor lady like Kate Steinle in L.A., I'm sorry, in San Francisco, was shot down on the at Fisherman's Wharf walking with her dad, and we sit here and take this stuff, and then we go, you mentioned down at San Diego just the other night up in San Jose. And if you don't know the way to San Jose, trust me, you don't want to find it now. So San Jose, Donald Trump, candidate for president, goes to give a speech. Gee whiz, amazing. So they try to shut him down. You know, amazing. United States of America, land of the free. A guy running for office is not allowed to give a speech because a bunch of Mexicans don't want him to talk because they don't like what he's going to say. And most of them aren't citizens. And so they rioted. There was a picture, it's a live picture, you can find it on YouTube, of a woman surrounded by 30 strapping Hispanic males, and they're literally beating her up. And the police stood by and watched because the mayor of San Jose told them to stand down. I think they need to put him in a unisex cell with the mayor of Baltimore. They'd make good roommates, don't you think? So we can call San Jose, Baltimore West. I mean, come on, people, wake up here. This is our country. If you're a citizen, it's your country. This is not their country. We welcome people here who want to be Americans. They want to play by the rules, period. And they want to learn English, and they want to work, legitimately work. We don't need any more welfare coming to the United States to suck the already empty treasury, down where the aquifer disappears in the Treasury Department. I mean, come on, folks. Everybody knows better than this. And you wonder why Trump has gotten a foothold? That's exactly why, because everybody else has just talked and talked and talked, and they never do anything. What do you think about that, Mark? We've gotten down through the picture of Obama. We still got some more to do.
Well, I'm speechless. What you're really referring to is this. We have lacked law, order, and following. You know, we are no longer a nation of laws. We just do whatever, you know, whoever's in charge says here. We're just going to do this by executive order. This is not what we as a nation really are all about. Part of I think also the Trump appeal is he's trying to get back to some, you know, law, order, and trying to, you know, at least settle this thing down. He has no idea, nobody does, but there's got to be a way to stop this so that we can figure out who these people are. And that was his point. You know, we need to know where these people come from, who they are, what they're doing here, and we need to keep an eye on them. You know, they don't just vanish into the night. Well, what's happening is, and you referred to this earlier, you know, they've given bus tickets to go wherever. What? Okay. So, you know, they're just going to take off. We don't know who they are. They haven't been through the screenings. You know, the mayor of San Diego is saying, well, you know, Trump caused this problem. No, he did not. You guys have intentionally done this. For what end and to what purpose? So I don't know. I mean, are they really think that these people are going to add to our society? I rather doubt it.
That has nothing to do with it. Yeah, that has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, is it to
It's all about voting.
Mobile, you know, mobile registrations to around election time, so the Democrats maintain a majority. I don't know. Could be. You know, are these guys in here for, you know, 75-80% of the people come across are a union, and you mentioned this over a year ago, of military age, somewhere between 17 and about 30. So you're looking at all of these males running around. What the heck? You know, this modern-day diaspora is dangerous. I don't know why they're here, but, you know, I mean, they go to parts of the country and nobody knows what's going on. Just ask the Germans how this is working out. You know, the Swedish.
The governments over there have done just what we're doing. They've encouraged it. You got to remember, when this all started down in Latin America, we had people down there advertising for them to come to the border. Did you know that?
Right.
The United States had agency people down there telling people to come to America. And just last week it was reported that DHS, and this was reported by one of the regional heads of the Border Patrol, because, as you know, the Border Patrol Union has come out supporting Trump. And he reported, and they have videos of DHS vans picking up illegals as they cross the border and taking them up to Phoenix and giving them bus tickets and putting them on the bus. And the people are self-deciding where they want to go. Oh, I've got somebody in Pittsburgh, or I've got somebody in Missoula, or wherever. So they're just sending them there. They're letting them go. They're keeping no record. And just think of this one. Where do you think Zika came from? If you notice, it came from somebody that traveled to Honduras or Nicaragua. No, yeah, they traveled from Honduras or Nicaragua. They won't tell you who these people are. I would suspect that most of them are probably illegals that came across the border. That's what I would expect is the truth.
Well, they're not
subject
to our immunizations, and they don't have anywhere to go. They're going to associate with people that probably don't have health care, right? So the whole thing starts to skyrocket, winds up in emergency rooms, and you know how that's going to turn out. Everybody who's a tax-paying citizen in the full faith and credit of the United States government has to reimburse all this. It also falls on states to take care of it. Unfortunately.
Well, and then let's make it worse.
Too. Yeah, well, it's just going to
make
a problem until this whole thing breaks down. What you're talking about is probably I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say it. I think it's a designed implosion a la Cloward Piven. I think these people
Absolutely.
Are going to, you know, be so... So much of a drain on our system that it will not be able to cover it. You know, Jim, they could tax me, you, and everybody you know, and I both know every last penny. It wouldn't make one darn difference in any of it. So where's this money coming from?
Of course.
Why are we messing up our future for all of this? I don't have a problem necessarily with immigration. I really don't. But somebody has to keep an eye on this, and we certainly have to come up with a better program than what's going on.
Well,
this is
an immigration. This is an invasion. Immigration is when you bring people because your society needs them for certain purposes. It's to be an advantage to the people that are already citizens here to have these people here. That's immigration. This is not immigration. This is an invasion. Everything that's going on in the name of immigration is hurting American citizens. You know, they're losing their jobs. Listen, the dirty little secret is people don't understand that there's a large number of legal immigrants that are in the United States, a lot of them from Mexico originally, that are supporting Donald Trump. They don't want to tell you about that, but they're supporting him because these people are a direct threat to them as well with their own livelihood. So, you know, it's not
right.
That's not immigration. What we're talking about is not immigration. Matter of fact, the government has gone – it started out, you know, we called them illegal immigrants. Then they started calling them undocumented immigrants. Then they just started calling them immigrants. And now there are groups in the Democratic Party that saying we're all Americans. That's what they've done. They've shifted it all over because that's heading for – listen, Bill, Hillary said in her first 100 days in for this president, if she's elected, that there will no longer be a border on the United States. We will no longer have a border. She will have that
enacted into law.
Well, Jim,
let me ask you.
That's what Hillary said.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask you a question, my dear good old friend. Does that mean we can come and go if we don't like it? I guarantee you that's not the case. You know, if you and I
go down to the bank and try to get some money.
Right, or go to a, you know,
go down to the bank and try to draw.
We're going to wander down to Costa Rica and set up shop. Look, no, they're not going to let you leave. But they'll let everybody
go down
in. What that means is the border will mean effectively the U.S. citizens who are of a certain, you know, productive level of economic activity will be forced to stay and shoulder the burden. What it does mean, though, is that we are no longer a republic and no longer a nation. What's going on here, and this is where Donald Trump, you know, actually got me, was a nation without borders is not a nation. It's a territory. It's just an open area, you know, looking to be plundered. Now, if you look at it that way, you say, well, hold on a second. We're supposed to have people down there. So the notion of a wall, and I think some of it is probably physical, some of it is emotional and mental. In other words, you're going to have people down there saying, hey, where are you people going here? Stop, cease and desist. It's a police function, and we're not doing anything about it. And you're right. These guys have been told to don't bother. They probably don't even have, ammunition in their, their sidearms, and they probably have a little stun gun to protect themselves. But other than that, you know, if you're mugged coming out of a Trump rally in San Diego or San Jose, and a crowd comes up and beats you, throws eggs in your face and, you know, punches you all over the place, you know, look, that is mobocracy. And I think that's part of what Barry Goldwater was trying to get at. In other words, we've lost the handle on this one. It's a very slippery slope to totalitarianism if you don't stop this. And I think maybe that's what they want, Jim. What do you think?
I think that's exactly what they want. They hate America. They want to bring it down and make it just another player like everybody else in the world. Obama wants to make America just average. He doesn't want it to be exceptional. And whenever you decide that you just want to be average, you basically stop even being average because it takes work to even remain at that level, and that's not their goal. Their goal is to break it down. I mean, let's face it, no country in history has ever seen as a mission to change the makeup racially of its population by law. And that's what we've done. You look at the immigration statistics. You look at what they're allowing in and what they want. They don't want Europeans in here. They don't want Europeans anymore. Absolutely not. And you look at what's coming over on the refugee front. In the last month, we brought in 1,032 Syrian refugees. Two were Christian. So they're trying to change the makeup of the country to what they think it should be. And my question is, who in the hell are they to decide what it should be? And the answer is nobody. That's not their rule. Remember what I've said in everything I talk about. Everybody on the face of this earth is a creature of God, whether you want to like it or not. And you were created in His image, folks, including the President of the United States. So what that means is when you're going to be the chief executive, it is your job to try to govern in accordance with what God would have you do. And I defy anybody to tell me that anything that's been going on in this administration for almost 8 years has met any standard such as that. It has met no standard. It's been law-breaking right and left. And that's all this immigration thing is all about. It's a sham to transform America to the way Obama wants it. Simple as that. Believe it or not, that's up to you. But You take a look at what's going on, and you look at all these issues we've got going on everywhere. Obamacare, they destroyed the best health care system in the world. Taxes, they've taken in more and more money, but we're further and further in hock because we don't balance any budget. We don't even have a budget. All we do is continuing resolutions over and over again. And then you've got the Republicans, who were supposed to stand for something better, that are no better because they've caved and kowtowed. And I'm telling you what, I don't want to hear the name Paul Ryan in my house ever again. The man is an absolute phony and a fraud. That's what he is. He's talking about Trump. Give me a break, Paul. You've given them everything they want, including immigration. He was asked to cut some of the money for Homeland Security because of this immigration issue, and he refuses to be willing to do so. Got the power of the purse, and they won't use it. So you tell me what's going on, folks. Tell me what's going on. But I got off on a little tangent there, and we're going to be running
well,
short.
Well, no,
you know,
that's part of that rant. I encouraged you to go ahead and do that before, because here's the truth. People need to hear it, Jim, because I think we're in one of these funny cognitive dissonance kind of things where people know there's a problem, but they refuse to accept it, right? It doesn't fit with their prepackaged notions of how things are. It could be as evil as trying to say, you're right, we're being overrun. You're right, we're trying to go ahead and change the complexion of this country. And it could very well be that, thank you, it could very well be that we are in the midst of an invasion. Now, it takes a while to think and process that. Forgive me, that was the mail lady who just came to the door. The way we're doing things here makes absolutely no sense. So now that we are aware, now that we can see, now that we understand things are not right and people can feel that in their guts, we have a vessel, and his name is Donald Trump, to try to at least get some idea of what the heck is happening here, because we've basically been bamboozled for, I think, 24, 25 years, all said and done, but let's just say 8. I honestly think that this has all been sort of a plot by the UN to try to take us, 1, down, 2, neutralize our effectiveness, and 3, well, you know, it doesn't matter. We don't need Americans. They're actually in the way. And what's in our way is our freedom of speech, our freedom from unlawful search and seizure, and 2, of course, that old Second Amendment. It sort of makes everything work. You start knocking the pegs out from under those, the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, the whole shebang. And guess what? You're going to get chaos, anarchy, and a complete implosion of morals and ethics, and basically the rule of law disappears. Period. I mean, you know, I understand it to be that this is controlled chaos. This is absolutely what they want. So if you believe the way you and I do, and your listeners say, well, you know, that's not right. That doesn't make any sense. No, it doesn't. Except if it's a part of a plot of a larger conspiracy, really, to say, look, we really don't like the way this thing was built. To have the justices of the Supreme Court say openly that the U.S. Constitution is a flawed document, I beg your pardon, there's nothing flawed in that document. It's not a full document, perhaps. But it was crafted by men in, you know, the late 1700s. Sure, can it be, you know, molded somewhat within the parameters and principles that it outlined? Possibly. You know, we're a nation of 325 million people now, not 5 million scattered over territory that people couldn't even figure out was there. But the fact of the matter is, those are the governing principles. That's what we need to adhere to. That's why I'm a Republican / conservative, you know, an originalist. What do these guys really mean by that? And so not only has that helped me clarify, you know, why I believe the way I do, but I believe that it's the way that we probably ought to get back to governing this country.
Well, you know, just stepping forward a minute from that, and that brings me to Trump a little bit, because I saw a picture of him earlier in the year when he went down to Laredo and looked at the border. And, of course, he's one of the few that's really done that. I mean, you know, one of the big things in these earlier primary things is all these guys talk all this stuff, but they all just sit around in Washington. Well, now, of course, Trump's not in Washington. And, of course, he does have the ability to travel pretty readily because of his fleet, if you will, of aircraft. But he's been out there doing it. And he's been out there talking and seeing what's going on and finding it out. And I think truly he's concerned. I'm not saying the others aren't concerned, but I think the establishment guys, well, they're concerned in the sense of, well, yeah, but we want it to be our way because we know better than you. Every time somebody tells me something about Trump, I think to myself, okay, well, if you guys are so good, you know, because we're supposed to listen to you and follow what you say, how come we got such a mess on our hands? Because, you look, it's gotten progressively worse for a long time. We went through a bad period in America. We had one break, 8 years of Reagan, to kind of tone it off for a while. By the way, Reagan was a disciple of Goldwater, who you quoted, because Reagan was one of his key spokesmen in the 1964 campaign. But anyway, Reagan kind of stopped it for a while, and then George Bush came in with the – when he was talking about the 1,000 points of light, and really all that is the New World Order. And here we go. We've been going that way ever since. George H.W., I like his willingness to stand up for America, but at the same time, his family is clearly supportive of New World Order, and I still would like to know what all the connections are with Saudi Arabia, because it's not a good thing, this relationship that so many American presidents have had with the Saudis. Because the Saudis are the centerpiece of where all this stuff originated. And if you look at the way they treat their women, it's not good. It's not good at all. It amazes me how in this country people can support the Democrats and when they kowtow to all that stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, it just doesn't make any sense. Well, it's because nobody bothers to really pay attention. I read that Congressman X book, and basically what he's talking about is that, yeah, it's easy to be a congressman because all you do is lie to the people because they're stupid. That's really what he said. He said, it's not necessarily what I want to do, but if I want to keep my place and I want to have a chance of being on that committee, I do what they tell me to do. Bingo. That's what's going on. It's been going on for a long time like that. Something's got to change. I don't know if Trump can change it. I think he's going to give it a try. And I want to talk about Cruz for just a minute because – I still like Ted Cruz,
right.
And I think Ted Cruz has a lot of good, has a lot of good stuff. He's a smart guy. He is definitely conservative. I think his legal mind is brilliant, and I wish that these guys could somehow work something out because I would love to see Ted Cruz doing something big on behalf of the country with Trump as president. He'd make a great attorney general. There's lots of things he could do. You could give him a project to go clean something up, and I think he'd go in there and bulldog it to death. But I think the reason that Cruz faltered is because he's very, very smart, but he just has trouble connecting with the big groups of people. I think it's the Harvard thing. It's just something about it. He's smart, but, you know, and I don't think he means it this way, but sometimes he sounds like he's preaching to you. And I really can't see him over the fence in my backyard. But I could Trump. I could see Trump sitting there at the fence with you, drinking a beer, talking about what's going on. You know, I just can't.
Well, Jim,
even if he is a
wealthy
guy,
if Trump was looking over the fence line at you, your property would be appreciating value rather dramatically. I think what you're trying to get at is Trump has that common touch. He can talk to just about anyone.
He does.
You know, the concrete truck driver. He can walk right up and say, you having trouble pouring on this, you know, blah, blah, blah. He can talk to the engineer.
That's
he can talk to the architect. He can talk to the guys that financed the building, right? So I don't think he's afraid to walk in and give Goldman Sachs what for. You know, I mean, part of it, I think, is that, well, you know, politics is all about connections, who you know, who supported you, put money in your coffers, and when your wife works for Goldman Sachs, it's really hard to take a stand against them and actually mean it.
Well, yeah.
I think,
yeah, that's true.
You know, Ted is a good guy. I think he's also young. What you're talking about is maybe 10 more years of seasoning and experience so that he actually sees how this works. My problem with Ted was he got a little condescending, right? He tried to take the Huckabee evangelical vote, go, oh, I'm going to change all this. But, okay, well, that's great. That's wonderful. But what about everything else? I believe that if somebody can get in and look at this mess and start to tell the American people, look, this is this, this is that, we have a real issue here. And it really, I think it comes down to three real key issues. You've got immigration, illegal and otherwise. You've got somewhat in the lawlessness that that's starting to create. You have a jobs issue where 94 to 104 million Americans are not doing anything. You know, that new statistic came out about jobs, and we can talk about that Monday.
Yep, it's huge. Yep.
But I am telling you that if we can tackle some of this stuff, we'll get through most of the real problems, but we have to return to order. We have to have a plan. If you're going to come to this country, you've got to at least be fingerprinted. I mean, come on. Let's get real basic. We have to know who you are. We have to keep a record of that, and we need to know what you're doing in, you know, wherever it is, in Iowa or Kansas or up in Michigan or Ohio or anywhere in the country, Pittsburgh, where these people are going. There is no such control in place. It's just a lot more than 1.7 million, Jim.
Well, yeah, I'm just talking about the ones that they have any kind of account on. Of course there are. But let me just add to what you just said. What they need to do about the fingerprinting, sometimes that's not enough because some of these people have never had fingerprints on record anywhere. So what you've got to do, and this sounds harsh, if you can't figure out where they came from and what, you can't let them in. You got to know what's coming. Because, I mean, you go to Syria, they don't have any records anymore. The place has been destroyed. It's, you know, it's a war zone over there. So basically,
yep.
You know, that's why we need to shut that down. We need to shut that down. And as far as the Muslims, I want to talk about Muslims. Because there are some people that are Muslims who are very nice people, and they don't want this stuff. But they're afraid. They're afraid to say anything. Now, I don't think Trump ever intended to say that no Muslims can ever come to America, which is what, of course, the Democrats try to say. But what he's saying is if the people that are coming through Syria, the war zone, where there is no way to know what they represent or why, then yes, you've got to stop them from coming. And so the fingerprinting or whatever you got to do, the way they did it at Ellis Island in the old days is they filled out reports, and some of them were stuck there until they got an answer. And their option then was you can either go back on the ship or you can just stay here, because it was kind of like being in a jail cell almost, not quite, but you know, it wasn't very, very comfortable quarters. But I mean, that's what you've got to do. And you've got to have a physical examination. You've got to check them for diseases. You've got to check for all this kind of stuff. And there's got to be a way of treating that stuff before you turn them loose in the country, or you've got to do something else. We can't open air borders put all the problems in the world. Now, somebody said to me, and of course you know I'm a Christian, well, you can't be a Christian and talk like, yes, I can. God does not expect you to be a fool. God does not expect you, when he says you're supposed to love your brother, that doesn't mean that you sacrifice your children with life-threatening diseases and everything else. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about having compassion. You know, he's talking about compassion. So the compassion is if you get the guy and he comes in and he's got a problem, you try to help him as best you can. But if there's no way to solve the problem, you can't just absorb him into your society. We're not here. America was never designed for the entire world to live here. You know what? We've paid for the world for a long time. We've paid for everybody. We've won wars. People never pay us back. We've sacrificed all kinds of people. You can't bring them back. All these things have gone on. And when I read last week that all these big world leaders are petrified of Donald Trump, I said, you bet your bippy they are, because the free ride is going to be over. That's the whole idea. You work with them, yes. Work with them, absolutely. You got to work with people. You got to work with people in the world. But you don't have to kowtow to them because you are still a sovereign nation. And once you finally say we're going to be a sovereign nation, we're going to be one. And they're going to listen because they will always listen because they always listen to America when America's strong. It's when we're weak that we get run over like a truck, which is what's been happening for 8 years now. Just about out of time, Mark. We've covered everything. I think I've said enough about the Christian side of me that the last picture's also covered. What would you like to say in your final remarks?
My final remarks would be that America now needs to stand up and start to really notice. We have an opportunity to make some inroads into what we collectively and I'm saying conservatives primarily, see as some real problems. And unless we get involved and do some of this on a local level, like you've been very effective, that, you know, it won't filter up. But we have a gentleman out there who is sort of telling it like it is. He's doing his very best. But understand, as one man, he needs his little army on the ground to go ahead and start to say, hey, what is this all about? Why are we doing that? Ask your, you know, county councilman, you know, what do you mean you're going to put a road through a swamp? That doesn't make any sense. You know, and organize people to try to say, look, I mean, is there a better alternative? Can we widen an existing road? Do we need, you know, a spur perhaps? I don't know. But you've got to have to get involved in this and then start to say, well, what about this policy? Why do we have safe cities? Safe from what, right? Do you mean that it's okay for people to congregate there? But then when you upset them with some political speech, ideology, they come and riot? No. So my final remark on that is it's now time to get involved. It's time to pull the glasses off, the rose-colored glasses, and start to see what we've happened here. It happened a little under George Bush, a lot under Barack Obama, but it got started under Bill Clinton. It really did. He pushed the ball in a major way. And he started out this lawlessness by firing, I think it was 100 and in excess of 100 federal prosecutors and put his own people in there. Well, what does that mean? Well, okay, president could do that. Yeah, he has the authority and the power to do that. Mayberry versus Madison. However, if you put people in there of a more liberal and progressive persuasion, they essentially work their way up and wind up in places like, you know, federal district courts, Supreme Court, etc. Okay, so this process, somebody thought this out a long time ago. All right. So you're looking at in less than a generation, it's all over the place. It's going to take at least that long with resolve to repair it. How's that?
No, I agree with you, and I'll tell you, if you need no other reason to support Donald Trump in this election, I would say, even if you don't care about immigration, but if you don't, you're really missing the boat. I mean, but if for no other reason, look at the Supreme Court. You just brought it up, the court system. If somebody like Hillary gets in and stacks that court, there goes everything in the Bill of Rights out the window, guaranteed. And remember this, folks. If they take your guns, and I'm not saying you want to use your guns, but they are the capability that you have if things get so bad that it's no longer tolerable under the American system. And that's pretty bad, but there's some pretty bad stuff going on right now. But if they take your guns, your freedom of speech, your freedom of worship, everything is gone with it. Because the guns, remember, the Second Amendment was not designed to protect you from criminals breaking into your house. It was to protect you from an overreaching government. That's what the founders said, folks. Whether you want to admit it or not, that's what they said. It's very critical. Now, going forward, we've covered a pretty good swath here on immigration, I think. I don't know what you can do, Mark, but I'm going to do a show Monday morning. You're welcome to join me if you want. It's up to you. At 10 o'clock, I'm going to do one on the job side because I see immigration and jobs, and there are a lot of other issues too, but they're the two big ones. And boy, The whoppers on immigration by Obama have been huge, and on jobs, they're even worse. I mean, I'm going to talk a little bit about the jobs report that we just saw that came out yesterday. And what a disaster that is. I mean, that just – even the White House had to admit that it wasn't very good. And they usually, you know, figure some little piece they could pull out of there to try to make the whole story about. They couldn't do it on this at all. So we're going to talk about that at 10 o'clock on Monday. That'll be my next show. And, folks, I do have a Sunday morning coming down for the weekend. It's already up and running, so if you want to take a look at that, remember the weekend, and tomorrow is Sunday, so don't forget the one who made you. It's very important, and he expects you to remember him. He loves you, but sometimes I think he loses a little patience with us, and rightly so. But anyway, folks, that's our show for today, and I hope my rant wasn't too bad, but just things I sometimes feel like I need to get off my chest. Just remember, folks, America is a great country, but we've lost a lot of our spunk and our spirit, and it's time we get that back in gear, and we've got to get it back in gear with God at our side. And that's my closing comment. So, Mark, thank you for being with us, and we're going to close out with that little music that Trump likes to use at all of his rallies, although I don't know if he's using it anymore because there was apparently a little bit of a dust-up with the Rolling Stones didn't like him using it. But I'm going to play it anyway. And we'll close with this, so have a nice weekend, folks, and I hope you'll tune in again on Monday. We'll see you then. And here's the closing song, the Rolling Stones with Start Me Up.
Don't make a grown man cry. Don't make a grown man cry.